T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's a good idea.
Have a point.
It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young sitting in with you for another hour. And stick around at 10 o'clock this evening. We will certainly be bringing you the best of Dave Glover. Dave Glover Show Rewind from 10 until 11 p.m. right here on Camo X. In the meantime, phone lines are open, 314-436-7900 for calls or texts. I got a bunch of texts, but one in particular that I've received during the last half an hour or so is someone talking about that they agree that we don't need another NFL team, but wonders about what our political class will do with the settlement money or the settlement funds if the case settles. How will it be divided up between the city and the county and the actual is the St. Louis Regional Convention and Sports Complex Authority? That is a fantastic question. And at the top of the hour, I believe it was an hour ago, it was 8 o'clock break, news break. Alex Dedman was talking about that very issue. And there was a story where St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones was interviewed about what happens if the case settles? What happens to that money? What are you going to spend that money on? And of course, Mayor Jones was noncommittal. You wouldn't expect her to already say, we're going to spend it like this, this, and this, since there has been no settlement yet. But the question is, what would be done with that money? And that is an excellent question. Because we're talking about public entities, the money and how that money is used would have to be disclosed publicly because they're public funds. So it's not as if that money would go to some slush fund and we wouldn't know where it would go. It would have to be publicly disclosed in terms of what is done with the settlement money. Now, the Rams have alleged, rather, the city of St. Louis, the county of St. Louis, and the Convention Sports Authority Complex, they have alleged damages amounting to about $1 billion. But the punitive damages could go far higher. And that's what I really believe has gotten the attention of the NFL owners. That and the fact that they've been in bed with Stan Kroenke and they're wondering why they're, you know, getting a sexually transmitted disease. I mean, that's to put it bluntly. They've been in bed with this guy, and now, as was reported last week, Kroenke has reneged on his indemnification agreement to reimburse the other owners for their legal fees and potentially even damages from this litigation, and Stan Kroenke has threatened to sue the NFL. So, NFL, welcome to what St. Louis has known for a long time, is that you don't do business with Stan Kroenke. You just don't. And they have. And now they are going to reap the benefits of doing business with Stan Kroenke. But listen, do you think, and the phrase that I coined was, is that the NFL doesn't want to have the John Grudenification of this litigation. What does that mean? Well, you remember John Gruden got fired. He had to resign, but he had to stop being a coach because of emails that came out from 10 years ago where he said things that were publicly not acceptable. So he had to quit. And if he hadn't quit, he would have been fired. What kind of emails, what kind of text messages do you think are right now locked and sealed in the Rams litigation that they wouldn't want released? I mean, Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, for goodness sakes, was arrested in a massage parlor in Florida. What kind of text messages do you think are on that guy's phone? What kind of emails do you think that he and Jerry Jones have exchanged? Those guys feel like they're above the law. They don't feel that the law applies to them. And I can promise you that there are texts and emails that they do not want to see the light of day, just like John Gruden. So if this case does go to trial, those emails can be used at cross-examination to discredit their testimony, to go to their credibility as witnesses, to challenge their credibility as witnesses. And folks, they don't want to have to put up with that. I promise you. I promise you. Now, some of these owners have already been deposed, and we learned last week that at least one of the owners gave a deposition that was extremely troubling to the NFL's defenses and Kroenke's defenses to the case. And that's all we know, because the deposition transcript has been sealed. So we don't even know which owner testified and what he may have said in his deposition that could potentially torpedo any defenses that Kroenke, NFL, and the Rams have against the St. Louis litigation. But for all of those reasons, when you put it into a great big blender and hit puree, what comes out is large sums of money. That's what comes out. Because if the NFL has got anything in abundance other than hubris, it's money. And so if it just takes money to make this case go away, then they're going to come up with enough money to make the case go away. They're not going to take the risk of going to trial, the PR nightmare that would occur as a result of some of these texts and emails coming to the light of day, not to mention the fact that the owner's financial holdings would be disclosed and their net worth would be disclosed. They don't want that being disclosed to the public. Not a chance. So for all of those reasons, this case, I do believe, has an excellent chance of settling, but it won't settle it. I don't think it could settle until we're getting very close to January 10th, because that's when the pressure begins to mount. That's when settlement negotiations, and I'm telling you, speaking from experience, because this is what I do during the day, that's when settlement negotiations get hot and heavy. Now, sorry to say that in the same conversation that I'm talking about Robert Kraft, but that's the reality of the situation. So are we talking $1 billion? Well, I think $1 billion has already been offered. So it would be something north of that, or the NFL team. And that's what many of the national pundits have been discussing about the possibility of a team. You know, there's pros and cons. I just think we need a big pile of money. I think that's what we need to reimburse the city, reimburse the county. We could do the repairs for the what used to be the Edward Jones Dome to make it more amenable to conventions, to have an ongoing, lasting economic engine that isn't dependent on the NFL. Because they've burned us twice, folks, with the Cardinals and the Rams, and I don't want to be a sucker for the third time around. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk to Dan Stevens. Dan Stevens is the president of Commerce Bank St. Louis. We're going to talk to him about the economic situation right now in St. Louis and how things are looking going into the fourth quarter and into 2022. We're going to talk about your finances here on At Your Service. Stick around.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameTip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Think about all the issues that impact our local economy. It's whether it's inflation, interest rates, supply chain issues, political turmoil. There's a lot of that. International issues, and those are just the issues that we know about. So to help us explain where we are financially in the greater St. Louis region, I reached out to Dan Steven. He's the president of Central Bank in St. Louis. That's Central Bank of St. Louis. Hey, Dan Steven, welcome to Camo X.
Thank you for having me, Brad.
It's great to talk to you, and thanks for making time for us this evening. And Dan, let's start with the issue that impacts people most, inflation. My wife was at Walmart today buying hamburger, and it was literally twice as much as what we paid just about a year ago. So this is something that we really haven't dealt with since the 1970s. We've all seen how everything costs more compared to what it cost earlier this year, and costs seem to just to continue to be going up. What are some of the causes of inflation?
Well, as you know, inflation arises in every aspect of our life, you know, food, clothing, transportation, housing, energy. And in each case, it's traditionally thought of as a supply and demand situation. So, you know, what does it cost to make a product and what's the demand for it? And I think lately we have to add one more element, and that would be transportation costs. So, you know, as we all know, transportation costs are up in almost every sector of our economy. The labor component is up in almost every sector of our economy in terms of the cost of labor. And materials are difficult to get a hold of, and so, you know, there's a premium for them when you get them.
Yep, scarcity increases the cost.
Exactly.
So how do energy costs impact inflation? Because for most folks, driving around, you gas up your car, you know how much it costs, you know that you see the signs when you drive down the street, and you know that it costs more to fill up your tank now than it used to. But that's not where inflation ends when it comes to fuel costs. And so how does increased cost of fuel in of itself help drive inflation in all sectors of the economy?
Right. So, as we all know, energy costs are up, and energy costs are very hard to predict. It's its own supply and demand world, how much is coming domestically, how much is coming from international sources, et cetera. And energy costs tend in the summer months to run around 7% of the household budget. And then, you know, in the winter months, it would be a higher percentage. So it's a component of inflation. I saw some data the other day that they think inflation as of the end of August was running around 4%, but that the increased cost of energy they projected by the end of the year could push it up a half a percent or more to an annualized rate between 4.7 and 5-ish. Now, energy is not the only upward pressure on that, but that's been gotten a lot of attention lately as a major pressure for the increase in inflation coming between now and the end of the year.
And plus, any type of goods or products that we buy, they get to the store because someone in a truck drove it there, someone in a train hauled it there, someone in a cargo plane flew it there. And so
right.
If energy costs go up, and that costs the retailers more to ship those products and goods, then at that point they've got to pass those cost increases on to the consumer.
Yeah, absolutely. So back to when I mentioned, you know, inflation, supply, demand, and now we're adding transportation with like an asterisk, and energy costs increase transportation costs.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're talking to Dan Steven. He's the president of Central Bank in St. Louis. And many folks listening this evening, Dan, may be retired, and many retirement accounts and pension plans invest in bonds. And since rising inflation, I'm not trying to get real wonkish here, but rising inflation, you know, typically puts a downward pressure on bond prices. But through all of that process, the bottom line is, how might this impact the value of retirement accounts with regard to the current cost and price of bonds?
Right. So the first issue you have to think about in this analysis is, what percentage of my retirement assets do I have in fixed income securities, bonds and other fixed income securities? Because that portion is closely tied to interest rates. So by example, when you bought a bond earning 4% a while back, there was an expectation that that was a reasonable yield. For a while, when rates dropped to lower than that, you were looking very smart and feeling very good about it, and it was a better return than you could get. But as rates rise, it goes the other way, you're getting a sub-market return. So when the bond prices become 6%, your 4% bond is now less desirable. So if you were to try to liquidate it, it would get a less than par value. So people need to think about what percentage of their retirement accounts are in fixed incomes, and expect some pressure on them. So you could kind of talk yourself into, well, maybe I ought to reduce my exposure to those kind of investments. But the offset is, equities are also high. So the multiple value for projected earnings on equities right now on average is running like 29 times future earnings. So a simple version of that would be, if you expected a share of stock to earn $3, then it would sell for about $90 today. The average for that multiple, over normal times in the past would be closer to 16 times earnings. So that equity has been sort of pumped up by the market exuberance and people wanting stocks. And so you have to be careful, at least with the bond, your principal is fairly safe, depending on what kind of bond you hold, of course, but a well-rated bond would be very safe. You don't want to jump into the market when it's fairly high with that money and then discover that that was not the right place to go. Is that too long an answer to your question?
No, but what I'm hearing you say is that when inflation is going up and your fixed yield securities aren't looking so well, you really don't want to jump into the stock market, as you said, the equities market, because the equities market is rather overpriced compared to historical averages. So there's kind of a quandary right now as to what to do with retirement investments.
Right, exactly. And I'm not telling you not to jump. I'm just saying, look before you jump.
Absolutely.
Make sure you understand that there's no such thing as a free lunch when you're dealing with investments.
Not at all. We're talking to Dan Steven. He's the president of Central Bank in St. Louis. And the real estate market has been truly the hottest in recent memory. So how will rising interest rates impact the housing market? And do you see the housing market cooling off between now and, say, spring of next year?
Right. So I think, big factors at play, once again, is supply and demand. And so COVID created increased demand for housing of certain types. People were spending more time at home. They decided they needed an office at home. They decided that they were a little tired of their surroundings and there was a greener pasture and all that. So supply and demand was very high demand was high, supply was low as a result of the increased demand. And then the other factor is interest rates. So that rate you get on your mortgage impacts your buying power significantly. So rates were low, and so that gave buyers more buying power, which allowed them to pay a premium for that property they wanted. So we'll have to see whether the COVID demand piece backs off a little over time as people return to their offices. And we'll have to see how rapidly interest rates rise. So with inflation, the normal assumption would be that it'd be upward pressure on interest rates as well, and that will reduce buying power. So, based on what we're hearing from the Fed and other sources, we think there's some upward pressure on rates during the rest of this year and into 2022, and that should reduce the buying power of people through borrowed funds, and it should cool the housing market a little bit.
So the bottom line is, next year it should be easier to buy a house than it is today.
Yeah, but like everything, the yin and the yang on this is, as rates go up, you're going to have to pay more to get that mortgage. So if the rate, if the house comes down 5%, but your rate goes up, I don't know what the right multiple is. You have to watch where the where those two lines intersect.
Exactly. Hey, I appreciate you taking time with us this evening. Last question. The end of the year is a natural time for folks to evaluate where they are economically and financially and possibly even reevaluate their retirement portfolio. And since 2022 will most likely be very different than 2021, what should folks focus on now as they prepare for next year?
Well, the main thing I would focus on would be, you know, I already mentioned that the market's very strong as compared to where it traditionally should be. And you need to think about your horizon for needing distributions from that fund. So if you have a long horizon, let's say 10 or 20 years, you can kind of assume or reasonably expect that if the market comes down, there'll be time for it to rebound. If you're retiring in a year or two or three, you may want to look at how much you have in this really strong market. I know it feels great when it's going up, but it won't feel so great if it starts coming back down, and move some into something more reliable to hold its value.
Very good advice. Dan Steven, president of Central Bank in St. Louis. Hey, thanks for joining us this evening on Camel X.
All right, Brad, thank you for including me.
Yeah, appreciate your insight. How are you thinking these days about your finances? 314-436-7900. Call or text. Let us know what you think about this at the end of the year. Also, I'm going to share with you my two absolute favorite stories of the week, including litigation over Pop-Tarts. Coming up next here at your service on Camel X. Costs are going up all over the place out there. Welcome back to At Your Service here on Camel X, and I'm glad we had a chance to talk to Dan Steven, president of Central Bank in St. Louis, and he did a great job at breaking down where we are financially and where we're going. And it's interesting, I think I got about six or seven texts here just on that topic during the break, and one in particular says even the grocery bags at Aldi's has gone up from 10 cents to 13 cents in 1 week. So that's a 30% increase in grocery bags in 1 week. And that shows you how much inflation is going up. You know, the inflation is something that we haven't really dealt with since the Jimmy Carter administration. You know, that was so long ago. I actually had hair then. So that tells you how long ago that was. But what's interesting is how, at least to me, is how pervasive inflation is. I mean, people like the idea of getting pay raises. I know that I'm told some of my older friends are telling me that they're going to get an increase in Social Security benefits. But it's only going to be 5.9% of an increase, cost of living adjustment, in their Social Security checks. But if prices are going up 10 or 15%, you're still losing money. So inflation is insidious. And I hope that in the next year, when we're not dealing with COVID like we still are, that we can get some of this inflation under control. Also, let's face it, government spending impacts inflation. And when you've got that federal money cannon that's being fired off at everyone, giving away money that we're borrowing from China because we don't have it, then at that point, that also fuels inflation. So if we can rein some of that in next year, I know we'll be reining in federal spending in 2022 because Nancy Pelosi will not be the Speaker of the House after the 2022 election. I will promise you a BLT sandwich that Nancy Pelosi will not be the Speaker of the House in 2023. Listen, I love following stories that involve litigation, but this is the best story that I have seen in a long time. And it's best because it's funny, but it also gives lawyers, it's why lawyers have such a bad reputation. But let me ask you this question, and then I'll talk about this story, because what's in a Pop-Tart? What do you think is in a Pop-Tart? And actually, I'm going to get Abby. Hey, Abby, why don't you turn on your mic? Have you ever, because you're a lot younger than I am. Have you ever actually eaten a Pop-Tart?
Yeah, I have.
You have.
Several times.
Okay, because, you know, my daughters are about your age, and they would cringe if I gave them a Pop-Tart. They would want some kind of a whole grain muffin with oat grass and goat's milk or some, you know, some kind of silliness. But you've actually had a Pop-Tart.
Yep. S'mores are my favorite.
Okay, what kind?
S'mores.
Okay, good. All right, so you've actually had it. So when we talk about a Pop-Tart, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, over the past year, there have been at least, according to my account, three lawsuits have been filed against Kellogg Company because they're alleging that there's not enough strawberries in strawberry Pop-Tarts, and so it constitutes fraud because they're advertising it as a strawberry Pop-Tart when in reality it contains more pears and apples than strawberries. Now, this kind of reminds me of the case years ago where the lady got burned with coffee at McDonald's and initially had an enormous verdict of like $1 million, and it was later reduced down to like 10 grand on appeal. But this is that kind of case, because when you mention, really, come on, you're suing Kellogg's because they don't have enough strawberries in their strawberry Pop-Tarts. It just makes lawyers look bad. And of course, the lawsuits, two of the three lawsuits, were filed in New York. And guess where the third lawsuit was filed? Well, if you said Illinois, you win. Because Illinois, of course, has been known as the judicial hellhole of the United States. And this is why. Because people are filing lawsuits against Kellogg because there aren't enough strawberries in their Pop-Tarts. I mean, that's just absurd. But the best, I would say this takes the cake, but we're talking about Pop-Tarts. But the plaintiffs are asking for, sit down, $5 million. $5 million. Now, how many Pop-Tarts could you buy with $5 million? What kind of damages did you sustain in order to justify asking for $5 million? And that's what they asked for in the complaint, which is just frankly absurd. It's preposterous. But anytime we talk about Pop-Tarts, now I got to give a disclaimer here or someone's going to sue me over this. So I'm going to tell you right now, and Abby, write this down. You can flag the audio. Do not try this at home, okay? I am not encouraging you to do what I'm about to tell you. But when I was a kid, I took a Pop-Tart, and I took a toaster. My mom was going to throw out this toaster. And so I plugged it in, and I ran it out, and I put it on some concrete because I knew what was going to happen. But I took up this toaster, and I put the Pop-Tart in, and I put the toaster down. And then I used duct tape. And I duct taped it into the on position so that the toaster, you know how you push that little lever down, so the lever was permanently in the on position. So in other words, it never stopped cooking the Pop-Tart. And after about 3 or 4 cycles of toasting this Pop-Tart, the goo inside began to boil inside the pastry of the Pop-Tart. And once the strawberry goo began to boil, it burst out of the Pop-Tart pastry, and a stream of red goo goes about 5 feet high in the air over the duct-taped toaster. And it was as if it was a fruity volcano exploding in my backyard. And... And of course, the toaster was trashed. You couldn't use the toaster anymore. It had been duct taped in the on position. That toaster wasn't going to cook anything from that point forward. But yeah, that was called the Pop-Tart Volcano. And that was even before YouTube, you know, so I couldn't even like shoot a video of it and put it on TikTok. I would have gotten like 5 million views for that. on TikTok today. And instead, it was nothing. I just enjoyed it. So it was probably one of my goofy friends was with me. I don't remember. But yes, you could make a Pop-Tart blowtorch with a toaster. Now, let me again state, kids, do not try this at home. Okay, you can't do this at home, kids, because as a parent, I would not let my kids do it because somebody's going to get burned, and then they're going to sue me for $5 million. So I've given all of the disclaimers that I need to give to make sure that you don't try this at home. But I can tell you, you can have a lot of fun with Pop-Tarts. It doesn't matter whether there's any strawberries in them or not, because it makes the same color goo. It doesn't matter if it's pears or apples. It's still a red goo that's shooting up 5 feet above your toaster. And so we're coming up here on the clock here, and I see some folks are calling in. If you'd like to give us a call here in the last segment, love to hear from you. 314-436-7900. When we come back, if we have time, we'll talk about the gun rights case at the Supreme Court today. Stick around. Don't go away. Let's be careful with those Pop-Tarts out there. They can be pretty dangerous. Thanks for sticking around here with us here at your service on our last segment. Hey, David, you've been holding through the break. Welcome to Camo X.
Yes, I was going to mention on that McDonald's lawsuit, that's kind of unfairly mischaracterized. But a lot of that lawsuit was because the franchisee was taking the coffee maker and removing a limiting switch so the coffee would be heated higher than the manufacturer of the coffee pot of the coffee maker had recommended, and even put a limiting switch to keep it from going any hotter. And so that's why that lawsuit had a lot of merit on that. It, you know, it got unfairly characterized as kind of a joke lawsuit, but I think it finally settled. There were actually court awards down to $640,000. But it was settled out of court to go ahead and get the money to keep it from just being appealed longer and longer, so that the plaintiff would actually get the money.
Yeah, that case was called Liebeck versus McDonald's, and ABC News at the time called the case, and I'm quoting here, the poster child of excessive lawsuits. Unquote. So yeah, I understand that there was some limits that were on this coffee machine that were removed or altered by the McDonald's franchisee in order to make their coffee hotter. It was just a classic example of excessive lawsuits. And I'm not trying to trivialize whatever burns that this lady received. What I am saying is that in the legal industry, it's known as that poster child for excessive litigation. And I think, though, that exploding Pop-Tarts should replace the burning coffee, because I think exploding Pop-Tarts are a lot more fun.
I think so, too. And obviously, if you look at any kind of juices or supposedly real fruit-flavored products, most of them have a lot of cherry in them, and other, like, apple juices have a lot of real cherry juice that's flavored apple and things like that. So if you start looking at it, this is a lot more common. And the ingredients, if they're labeled properly on the ingredients of the, on the label of the package, then you should have known what she was buying.
Oh, I'm sorry. We just lost you. Sorry about that. Hey, I wanted to go to Bill, though, in the time we have left. Hey, Bill, welcome to Camo X.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I have a family member who's going through a modification for a divorce, and it's been going on for like 9 months, 9+ months now. And the judge, who does a judge report to? You know, it seems like the judge is not doing their part. Their part in being an impartial with the two parties.
Well, let me kind of briefly explain that to you, Bill. Missouri has something. It's actually copied in many, many states across the country. It's literally called the Missouri Plan. And in the Missouri plan, it involves not only how judges are chosen, but how judges are retained. Because, for example, over in Illinois, judges actually run for office. They have to have a campaign. They raise money. They run for office, which I think is just absurd. But in Missouri, once a judge is appointed and becomes a judge, then I believe it's every 3 or 4 years, those judges have to run for retention. And so at that point, individuals have the ability to say no. They can go to the ballot box and say, Judge Smith, Judge Jones, and of course I'm just using that term euphemistically.
Yes, I understand that.
But that particular judge, whoever it is, they can be voted out of office if they aren't retained. And so it's very difficult to do, Bill. I will give you that. It's very difficult to get a judge voted out in terms of their retention. But that is the system that's currently in place in Missouri.
So there's really nothing that could be done. I mean, my brother went in and, you know, he's got, from what I gather, he's got like concrete evidence, you know, of stuff that his ex-wife is doing. And
yeah, well, I don't want to get into those details, Bill, but I will tell you this. If there's evidence of any wrongdoing by the judge, there can be a bar complaint filed with the Missouri Bar Association. So I would just encourage your situation here. I think you said it was your brother or your brother-in-law to, if there's any evidence of wrongdoing by the judge, they can just contact the Missouri Bar. And otherwise, the only other option is the retention system. Hope that helps.
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
Bill, my pleasure. Thanks for calling in. In the time we've got left, I got to tell you the other cool story of the week. You know what the mast ships look like in Pirates of the Caribbean? And we've got to 5550, right, Abby? The three-masted ships like you see in Pirates of the Caribbean. The Ecuadorian Navy has one of those ships. So imagine these big sails, and there's guys up in the crow's nest, and they're sailing this ship that's wind-powered. They actually arrested a drug dealer who was driving a narco submarine. So they chased him down with a three-masted ship and arrested a drug dealer this past week who was in the process of hauling heroin to the United States. Now, what kind of a goober drug dealer in a narco submarine gets arrested by a dude in a sailing ship? I'm thinking that his days of running heroin and cocaine for the cartels has officially ended. And so has our evening. Brad Young in with you this evening on At Your Service. I'll be filling in for Mark Reardon this Friday from noon, from 3 until 6. And we've got Dave Glover coming up next on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.